I want to, real quickly, we're going to eventually go to 1 Corinthians 11, eventually. We're going to get over there. We're preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians on Sunday evenings, and 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 is where we're going to end up. But before we get there, I'm going to kind of quickly review. Last week we said the Bible says that we should study the Word of God. Now, how do we study the Bible? How do we get the profit out of the Bible that God intended for us to get? Well, you got to follow God's prescribed method of study. And God has given us that. He said that when you study the Word, you have to rightly divide the Word of God. And we said that phrase, rightly divide, means to cut straight. So when you study your Bible, you've got to recognize the distinctions that God's put in the Bible and let them be what they are. And don't try to change them and don't try to make everything fit into your square. Just, you know, recognize the divisions, the distinctions that are there in the Word of God. And we did a lot of intro material on that last week, which I really don't have time to get into tonight. But last week we looked at the first essential key in understanding the Bible, and that is that you must look in the context and see, okay, wait a minute, who's God talking to here? Who's He addressing? For instance, look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 32. There's a division here that God gives us of mankind, of the human race. And it says in 1 Corinthians 10:32, and we talked about this extensively last week, give none offense, Paul said, neither to the, what's the first group? The Jews. That's anyone that's of the nation of Israel. So that's one group, the Jews. Then he said, nor to the what? Gentile. Who's a Gentile? Well, it's anybody that's not a Jew. Right. Anyone that's not, as we talked about Wednesday night, anybody that's not of, quote, the circumcision. Israel is of the uncircumcision, which speaks of the Gentile nations. And then look at the last group. He says not to give offense either to the what? Church of God. Now, if you're saved, what group are you part of? Church of God. That's right. We're part of the church. We're part of the body of Christ. And all of Scripture, and this kind of make it real simple for you, that all of Scripture is written and addressed to one of those groups or individuals within those groups. So anytime you read your Bible, God's either talking to Gentile nations or maybe a Gentile person. He's speaking to a Jew or the Jewish nation, Israel. Or God is addressing the church, the body of Christ. So when you study your Bible, really to be a good student, you need to know who's God addressing. Who is God talking to here in this text? And just understanding that will clear up a lot of stuff for you in the Bible. And Wednesday night, if you missed, we actually gave you a simple threefold timeline. You can break your Bible into a threefold timeline. Time past, but now, ages to come. And we looked at that Wednesday night. We're going to continue that this Wednesday night. Looking at that, you know, the time past program was for Israel. The but now is the church, the age of grace that we live in today. And then the ages to come is after the church is taken out, after we're raptured out, then the ages to come set in. And Israel will become the focus once again. And so we looked at all that Wednesday night. But now tonight I want to come back and I want to give you the second key essential if you're going to understand your Bible. And that is this. You've got to know who God's spokesman is for you today. Now, in every time period throughout biblical history, as you study your Bible, you're going to find God always has a spokesman. For instance, I'll give you an illustration. Back in Noah's day, all the Gentile nations, there was no Israel then, okay? It was before Abraham, before Israel. And all the Gentile nations, all the nations were corrupt. They were wicked. They were heathen. They were idolatrous. And they were totally corrupt. And you'll remember that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was the one guy that sought to walk uprightly before God. And Noah was the spokesman for that time period. The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And so while Noah's building that ark, he's a preacher of righteousness. He is proclaiming God's truth to those people during that time period. Noah was the spokesman for that day and time. Well, you fast forward in history there, and then you come to Moses. And when God took the nation of Israel, and they were birthed as a nation and taken out of slavery, out of the slavery of Egypt, Moses was God's appointed spokesman. And you'll remember God gave to Moses, through Moses, he gave his people Israel the law, the Old Testament law. Moses was the spokesman for the nation of Israel all the way up until you come, and then you come, and now all of a sudden a new guy comes on the scene, a new prophet, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist comes, and he is a spokesman to the nation of Israel. And then Christ comes, and the 12 apostles come. They're all raised up, and they're spokesmen that you know, leading up to the cross. Well, then after the cross, Peter is God's spokesman on the day of Pentecost. And you remember Peter got up, he addressed the nation of Israel, and he was God's spokesman on the day of Pentecost. The responsibility of mankind in every dispensation of this book, in every time period of this Bible, the responsibility of mankind is to recognize God's spokesman, listen to God's spokesman, and believe the message that God's spokesman brings. As we approach the Word of God, I think it'd be very important, church, for us to say, well, okay, does God have a spokesman for us today? And if so, who is the spokesman for this church age, this time of grace? Who is our spokesman for today? Now, that is a very extremely important question. If you're going to rightly divide and study God's Word and get the profit out of it that God intended for you to get, then that's a really important question. You need to know who your spokesman is for today. And it's very important, and I want to give you an illustration why it's important. Take your Bible, keep your bookmarker here, and go to Genesis chapter 1. The book of Genesis, first chapter, first book of the Bible. Genesis, first book of the Bible, first chapter of the Bible. Genesis 1 and verse 27. God creates Adam. Notice he says in verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you..." Now notice this. Notice what he tells Adam. "I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be," that fruit, "for meat." And so we see here that when God created Adam and Eve, they are given a strictly raw vegetable, raw fruit diet. Their diet was to consist only of raw vegetables and raw fruits. Take your Bible, go to Genesis 9. Genesis chapter 9. Now, we have Noah. Okay? And Noah comes on the scene here. Noah comes off the ark. And notice what God tells Noah in verse 1. Chapter 9, verse 1. "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be put upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you," what? "All things." So now all of a sudden, God tells Noah that, "Noah, you can eat anything you can catch." Now, I'm not going to make it easy for you. I'm going to put the fear of mankind in animals. It's not going to be easy. But anything you can catch it, if you can catch it, you can eat it. Now, would you agree with me that is a change to the dietary laws? Yes or no? Okay, that's a change. Now, you got Genesis, then you got Exodus. Go to the next book after Exodus, Leviticus. Go to the third book, Leviticus 11. Leviticus 11. God is now establishing, Israel is now an issue. Israel has come on the scene. God is establishing a covenant, we call it the Old Testament, with Israel.
And he's establishing this covenant with Israel through Moses. And notice in chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, Speak unto the children of who?" See what I mean? You got to look. Okay, who's God talking to here? Well, he's talking to the children of Israel, saying, "These are the beasts which ye shall eat among the beasts that are on the earth." So, according to that verse, were they allowed to eat some animal meat? Yes or no? Yeah, but look at verse 3. "Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye," what's the next two words? "Not eat." And he lists all these different animals. He says, these are unclean, you will not eat these animals. Now, was it just kind of a suggestion that they not eat them? No, look down at verse 11. He said, "These shall be even an abomination unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination." So it wasn't just that they shouldn't eat these things. It was an abomination for Israel to eat these certain animals. Would you agree with me that is a change from the dietary laws that God gave Noah? Yes or no? Clearly, there is a change. Now, let me ask you a question. Think with me. What if there's a Jew living during Moses' day, and this Jew comes up to Moses and says, "Hey man, thanks a lot for all those dietary restrictions that you gave, but you know what? I like Genesis 9 better. You see, I like a little bacon with my eggs. And, I mean, after all, it's Scripture. I mean, look at it. It's right here in Genesis 9. And all God's promises are mine. And so I'm just going to claim Genesis 9. I'm going to stand on Genesis 9. And I just know that God will bless me for that because I'm going to stand on God's Word." Now, according to the Bible, this man would have been committing a what? An abomination before God. So here's a guy that could be quoting Scripture. He could be quoting Genesis 9. He could be standing on the Word of God, obeying the Bible, but yet be completely out of the will of God. Why? Because he failed to see that God had changed his program from Genesis 9 over here to Leviticus 11. You see, some new things had happened from Genesis 9. God had formed a nation, nation of Israel. God had set them apart. They were to be a testimony to these other nations. And so now, all of a sudden, you got Israel, you got the law, and now there's a change that's taken place. So some old boy could come along and say, "Well, thanks, Moses, but no thanks. I'm going to stand on Genesis 9 because that's the Word of God. And you know, the Word of God says that I can eat anything that moves. And so I'm just going to stand on Genesis 9 and I'm going to have me some roast pork tonight, Moses." And that man would be completely out of the will of God while quoting Scripture the whole time. Go over to 1 Timothy now in the New Testament, Paul's epistles. Let's go to 1 Timothy. The Apostle Paul here is writing to Pastor Timothy, who's pastoring a local church kind of like Crossroads. And we go over to 1 Timothy 4, and let's see what Paul has to say that Timothy should be teaching the church here in the dispensation of grace today. What is Timothy to be teaching? What about these dietary restrictions? Well, look at 1 Timothy 4, verse 4. Paul says, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." Look up at verse 3. In fact, he says, if you go up to verse 1, he talks about how Timothy should not give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Look at verse 3. Notice these doctrines of devils: forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Church, those of you that you can read and understand this, would you agree with me this is a change from Leviticus 11. I mean, the Awana kids next door could see that's a change, right? So, can you see how people could look at all those different verses we just read concerning your diet and become confused? Can you see? I mean, I'm not saying you're confused, but can you see how somebody could read that and be confused? Sure. Sure. I mean, here you got four different passages saying four different things. Now, this is only one subject in the Bible. I've only taken one subject, and that's diet. Okay? Multiply that times all the different subjects and think about it. If you don't know who your spokesman is, man, you're in trouble. You don't know which set of instructions to go by. Do I go by Genesis 1? Do I go by Genesis 9? Do I go by Leviticus 11? Or do I go by 1 Timothy 4? If you don't know who your spokesman is, you don't know what to go by. It's kind of like, I thought of this illustration. Let's say that Brother Sonny O'Neill and Alan Hooker and the guys are getting ready to build Walk Through Bethlehem. And I come up and give them a set of instructions and say, hey, here's your instructions for Bethlehem. You know, now go build it. And then Pastor Tommy comes up and says, oh, guys, here's your instructions for Walk Through Bethlehem. And they're different than mine. And then Pastor Rich comes up. He says, oh, hey, guys, listen, I got your instructions on how to build Bethlehem. Here they are. And then Pastor Larry comes up and Pastor Larry says, hey, I got these instructions for Walk Through Bethlehem. Here you go. And I've got these instructions, and I had seen a Walk Through Bethlehem. It was for a 12,000 square foot field, and I thought it was just absolutely incredible. So I got all the instructions on this 12,000 square foot field, and I gave it to him. Our field's 22,000 square feet. Tommy, you see, he saw a Walk Through Bethlehem that was 44,000 square feet somewhere in another state. So he got all their instructions and how to do it and how to build it. He gave them that one. Rich, he saw a really cool Walk Through Bethlehem over in Tampa, but it was small. It was 6,000 square feet, but it was done well. It was set up beautiful. So he gives them a set of instructions for a 6,000 square feet Walk Through Bethlehem field. And says, here you go, guys. Here's your instructions. Man, they're great. And then Larry comes up. He's got a set of instructions that fits our 22,000 square foot field perfectly. And Larry is over that ministry, and it's his responsibility. Now, question, could it be that all the instructions that we gave them are good? Yes or no? Well, sure, they can all be good in their proper place and in their proper context where they fit. But there's one set for our field, and Larry's the spokesman, and he's the one that's going to give it to them. So what do? They say, well, okay, who's our spokesman? Pastor Larry. Let's go with his. They're all good. They're all probably right in their proper place. But these are the instructions that are good for us. These are the ones that are directly for us. Question for you. Are Moses' instructions under the law, are those good? Are they right? Sure. They fit perfectly for Israel under the Old Testament economy. How about John the Baptist? When he came out and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, were those good instructions, yes or no? Yes. Sure, for Israel, for those Jews that were living before Christ, he was the forerunner. How about Peter's instructions on the day of Pentecost? Were those good instructions, yes or no? Yes. Sure, for Israel. Before the gospel of grace was revealed through the Apostle Paul, they're all good instructions. But you see, you got to know where you fit in the plan of God. You've got to know who your spokesman is. Now, who is our spokesman today for the dispensation of grace? Does anybody know? Where can we go in God's Word, and where can we find specific doctrine and instruction that fits for us today? Go to 1 Corinthians again. That's where I wanted to get to. I told you it was going to be a long runway to get to Corinthians. But you know, we're off the runway. Go to 1 Corinthians 11 and look at verse number 1. Very important verse. 1 Corinthians 11:1. It says, Paul says to this local church, be ye followers of who? Of me. Even as I also am of what? Christ. Now, who are the Corinthians to be following? The Bible's clear, the man who wrote the letter here, the Apostle Paul. Go over to chapter 4. I'll show you a good cross reference. You may want to write it in beside verse 1 there. Chapter 4. I like to do that. Like I, beside 11:1, I would write in this passage. Chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17. Paul says, wherefore I beseech ye, he says it again here, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Go to chapter 14. And I'd write in beside there chapter 14 and verse 37. 14:37. 14:37 is another good cross reference. You may want to write it in. Chapter 14, verse 37. Paul says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the what, church? Commandments of the Lord. Now go back to chapter 11. Go back a couple chapters there. And Paul says in verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, you know, there's some people who will try to tell you that that verse should be rendered instead of followers, that ought to be rendered imitators. Well, that is very weak and that is very inaccurate. You are not to imitate Paul or anybody else. You're not to go around imitating me. And you're not to imitate Pastor Larry or Brother Rob or Pastor Tommy or Pastor Rick. You're not to go around imitating anybody. Okay? So that word should not be imitator. That's weak. That is inaccurate. That is not right. The Bible is right. Be ye followers of me. Think about this. We don't even imitate Christ. You say, what do you mean? Well, what's an imitation? An imitation, look up the definition. You know what an imitation is? It's a cheap counterfeit. If I say to you, I got an imitation Rolex watch. Now, I don't, but if I did, if I said to you, I got an imitation Rolex watch, does that conjure up good thoughts or kind of bad thoughts? Not too good, right? An imitation is a cheap counterfeit. It's not the real, genuine thing. You aren't to imitate God. God can't be cloned. Listen, if you study your Bible, you know what you're going to find out? The greatest imitator of God in this universe is Satan. He's the great imitator. You know why? Because he's a counterfeit and he's a fake. And Satan tries to do everything he can to be an imitator of God. You aren't to imitate God. You're to follow God. That is, we take what God has instructed us. We take His instruction. We take His truth, and then we obey it, and we follow Him by faith. God desires for you to be who God created you to be in Christ, not somebody else. God simply wants you to allow Christ to express Himself through you as you obey His Word by faith. So if you're to follow Christ today, how do you do it? What does the verse say? If I'm going to follow Christ today, how do I follow Christ? What does chapter 11, verse 1 say? If I'm going to follow Christ today, how do I do it? I do it by following who? Paul. I do it by following the instructions that my spokesman, that God's given me, okay? God's given me a spokesman. God's spoken through him. And now, that's how I follow God, is I follow God by following the instructions God gave me through Paul. I want you to take your Bible and go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go back there, 1 Timothy chapter 1. And notice what Paul says in verse 16. This is a very, very good verse. This is one you ought to underline and really, you ought to meditate on this verse this week. Maybe write it down, memorize it. Look at 1 Timothy 1:16. Paul said, howbeit, for this cause, I obtained mercy. Paul said, I obtained mercy. Paul was a wicked sinner. Paul was the leader of the rebellion against Christianity, against Christ. And he said, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, you ought to underline that word, first, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering, patience. Notice why. For a what? A pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. According to the Bible, everybody that would believe on Christ after Paul, who did God give us as a pattern? Who? Paul. Paul said that he was a pattern. Now, what do you do with a pattern? You follow it. You follow it. You see, Paul's words are the words of Christ for us today. Go to chapter 6 of this same book. 1 Timothy 6. I'll show you this. Paul's words are the words of Christ for us today. Look with me at 1 Timothy 6, verse 2. And they that have believing masters, he says, let them not despise them, because they are brethren. But rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. Now, Paul's been teaching all this stuff in this book. And then notice what he says here to Timothy. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. Now he's talking about the words that he just gave him, that he just taught him. If any man consent not to wholesome words. Notice this. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Do you know what Paul just told you about his teaching there in verse number 3? He calls his doctrine wholesome words. He calls his doctrine the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he claims that his doctrine is the doctrine that is according to godliness. Now, let me just share something with you that I think will help you. You know, I like doing this kind of stuff because, you know, like Wednesday night, I actually had you go to your index in your Bible. And we wrote in the books that were time past, the ones that were but now, you know, the time period we're living in. And then we looked at ages to come and the books that cover that. I like to do things like that because I want to help you. I want you to understand that the Bible is a book to be understood, okay? But you got to know who your spokesman is. Now, let me share something with you that will help you. If your Bible's like mine, and I didn't ask for this, it just came this way, but I've got certain words in my Bible that are in red. Do you have anything like that in yours? Called a red letter Bible. In a red letter Bible, what they do supposedly is they put all the words of who in red? Jesus Christ in red. You know, that's deceptive in a way. Okay? That's deceptive. You say, what do you mean? Well, what they did is they put the words that Christ spoke on earth in red. Let me ask them, did the only time Jesus ever speak was on earth during his 3.5-year ministry? Is that the only time he's ever spoke? No. The Apostle Paul said that Christ appeared to him from heaven, not on earth. Christ appeared to Paul after Christ had already ascended up to heaven. He'd been up in heaven a long time. He appeared to Paul from heaven. The Bible says he revealed himself to Paul and gave him the gospel that Paul gave to you and I to preach today. In other words, the words that Paul gives to us are the words of Christ also. Here's the difference. The words in red in your Bible, those are the words Christ spoke on earth during his earthly ministry to the nation of Israel. The words that Christ spoke from heaven to the heavenly body of Christ for today, he spoke those words from heaven to the Apostle Paul for you and I today. So if you look at your index at the front of your Bible, if you want to kind of flip there and look at that, look at your index. And if you notice that your index in the front of your Bible, there's a book written to the Romans. That's Gentiles. Okay? And that's Paul's first book in your Bible. And then God gives us 13 books that Paul wrote. Romans through Philemon. So you can kind of mark those off. Romans through Philemon, they are written by God's spokesman for the body of Christ. They're written by the man who said that his office was he was the apostle of the Gentiles. He's the man who God gave the dispensation of grace to give to us today. That's the Apostle Paul. And so God gave us in this age some direct mail, if you will. And that direct mail is there in those 13 books that Paul wrote to the church, the body of Christ. He wrote them directly to us. Now, we learned last week, can we learn and can we gain exhortation and can we be challenged and can we be taught from all of the Bible? Yes or no? Absolutely. That's why we're preaching through Nehemiah on Sunday mornings. That's why we taught through Hosea a few months ago. We can learn from all of the Bible. We can look at God's dealings with Israel and learn so much from that. And those things are written for our learning. But as far as your doctrine, as far as what you sink your teeth into and your instructions for today. Remember how we said you can have different sets of instructions and we saw the example just in the diet? You've got to know who your spokesman is and say, oh, okay, I get it. All right, Genesis 1, Genesis 9, Leviticus 11, 1 Timothy 4. But whoop, wait a minute, Paul wrote 1 Timothy 4. He's my spokesman. That's my set of instructions for today. Does that make sense? Okay. You see, Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 12 the abundance of revelations that he received from heaven. Paul received an abundance of revelation, see, from God, from Christ, to give to us. Now, the books of Romans through Philemon aren't in red. But if you really want to be consistent and say we're going to put the words of Christ in red, they should be. Because God gave to Paul, Christ gave to Paul from heaven. Those words to give to us, the body of Christ, for today. And those are Christ's words for you and I. And if we're going to go to Philippians 4, I think this is the last verse we're going to look at. Go to Philippians 4 and we're going to be done. And if we're going to follow Christ today in the right way, we've got to follow Paul and the instructions and the teachings that he's given to us. Because all the Bible is written for us. But we saw last week, it's not all written directly to us. And sometimes, you know what may happen? And this happens. Sometimes you'll read verses in other parts of your Bible, and they seem to contradict Paul's teaching for the time of grace today. And in reality, those apparent contradictions are just simply different sets of instructions given to in different time periods under different programs. Okay, that's all it is. It's different set of instructions for different people under different programs. For instance, I had an illustration that just came into my mind. Christ told Israel during his earthly ministry, he told them that if they did not forgive their brother, he said, then you won't be forgiven by God. But we know from Ephesians 4:32, it's different today, okay? We don't have to worry and wonder if we have God's forgiveness. The Bible says, be ye kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another. But then it doesn't say, be ye kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another if you want God to forgive you. It's not what it says. It's what it says over in Matthew, I think, chapter 6. But that's not what it says in Ephesians 4. You know what it says? It says just the opposite. It says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God says you need to forgive on the basis that God has already forgiven you of all your sins. And because God's forgiven you, you know what? You ought to take that grace and you ought to forgive others. But over there in Matthew 6, it's before the cross. It's before the resurrection. He's ministering to Israel. Okay? They don't have what we have, that just total, complete forgiveness through the blood of Christ. The blood hadn't even been shed yet. And so he tells them, you need to forgive your brother if God is going to forgive you your trespasses. So see, there's a difference, but it's not a contradiction. It's just a different set of instructions for a different group of people at a different time period. Look with me at Philippians chapter 4 and notice verse 9. Here Paul says to the church, those things... Now look at this, and this is another kind of one of those verses, be good to underline. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen where? In me. What's the next command? Do. So what am I supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to be doing the things that I've learned, received, heard, and seen in Paul. And if I do those things, what's the promise? The God of what? Peace. Man, I will have I will have the peace of God in my life if I will just learn and receive and see and hear and do those things that Paul has instructed me to do. He told Timothy, consider what I say, Timothy, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So as we study Paul's writings, and we consider what our spokesman says first, then that gives us greater understanding and it gives us a greater appreciation for all of God's Word. And we'll be on our way to rightly dividing the Word of truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.